Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Silver and Black Today on this Therapy Monday. Yes, Raider Nation, we feel your pain. We're here to listen. We're here to give you therapy. That's right. Scott Culbranson, your boy Q Myers, both with you. Again, always powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. Visit them at samandash.com because you deserve what's right. Coming later this hour, 3:20, it is time for 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. Hunter will be with us. He's always a stand-up guy. He'll talk about the loss yesterday. We'll ask him a little bit about all the things we've been talking about today, and then we'll talk to him, too, about some charity work he's doing locally with our good friends over at Share Village. So we'll get him on the line at 3:20. And then at 3:40, Sam and Ash will be here, where we're going to talk to Q about him going for his vampire facial.
Not me, brother. Go ahead and check me out of that box.
And we'll talk about a major league ball player from right here in Las Vegas who is suing a gentleman's club. And we'll talk about that,
nice, too.
Yes, very interesting. All kinds of connections going on there. We'll talk about that stuff. The wacky a little bit to end the show. A little bit of change of pace to end this day where everybody's kind of down. But we're going to go to a couple phone callers first, and then it's going to be time for the Q-tip, so don't go anywhere. First, it's Mark from New Jersey. Mark, you're on with Q and Scott. Thanks for being patient, man.
Hey, Q. Hey, Scott. How you doing? I got a little theory of what kind of went wrong. I'd like to share it with you guys.
Okay, go.
All right, so Sunday night, you know, they have a big AFC West battle, and they played real well and basically lost the game, you know, in the final minutes. And, you know, definitely coming in whatever day it was, Wednesday, there was definitely a hangover. You say that there isn't, but that game was too emotional. The way that defense comes in, they're a little bummed. Okay, maybe practice isn't so sharp, all right? So, you know, maybe Derek, as a captain, you know, he realizes that practice isn't as sharp. So, you know, that's probably why he said what he had to say, because you know you play like you practice. So if you didn't play well or practice that week, you're sure not going to play well. And you know, John Gruden's never going to admit that because he always has his teams pretty prepared. So now you practice for 3 days, and then you get on an airplane, and you got to fly east with, you know, a long flight, and maybe that's still on your mind. And you're facing an Atlanta team, which really isn't that bad. Not only that, you're facing a guy that's been on your staff before, Raheem Morris, which I'm sure he was totally motivated for this game. Not only that, he probably went back to the Tampa time, and you know, when he was with John, so you know, he had some insight there to see his tendencies and all that stuff. So that was a big factor in the game. Yeah. And you all know, like, Belichick's been successful. He's had trouble with guys that have been on his staff, like Vrabel and the Miami coach, and that's probably what happened. You know, again, with that all being said, you know, it's still not acceptable. You're in this position a year later with that experience. You know, you're flying east. Last year you got blown out by the Jets, and then this happens in Atlanta. It just can't keep happening.
No, George. You're right, George. Hey, thanks for the call, man. We got to run, but I appreciate that. And you know, Q's right. I mean, it's all of the above, actually, right? I mean,
right.
There just isn't much to take other than not making some of the mistakes you made. There's really nothing else to take away from that game.
There's no reason for a team as good as the Raiders are, and I do believe they're a good team, good weapons, good quarterback, everything, all of the above, to come away with 6 points. It's just no excuse.
No, actually. No, you're right. All right, we're going back on the phone lines real quick. One more caller here before we get to the Q-tip. If you're online, though, hold on. We'll get to you later on. It is George in Florida. George, you're on with Q. You're on with Scott. You're on Silver and Black Today.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Appreciate the call. And
chilling.
Scott, I know I've messaged you on Twitter a little bit, and I told you I was going to the game.
Yes.
So just wanted to quickly call and honestly, Raider Nation showed out. I really do think it was about 65-70% Raider fans, and I went with a Falcons season ticket holder, and he was actually thoroughly impressed. And it was one of those things you could just tell that they were flat. Unfortunately, it happens, but I think there's just a lot of optimism that, you know, we've seen what they've done, you know, for the first 10, 11 weeks of the season. And it's one of those things that, you know, I'm a very optimistic Raider fan. I truly think that this is just a small bump in the road to really where they want to go, in the long scheme. And it's funny, one last thing. I've seen 14 Raider games in my life. I'm kind of young, and I did the record at 4-10 seeing them in person.
Wow.
And I was using the bathroom the other day, actually at the game, and a Raider fan comes in. He says, "All they do is lose when I see them in person," and it had me thinking of my record. I totaled up the tallies and numbers. You know, offense is averaging 19 points per game when I see them in person, and the defense is allowing 28 points per game. So it's one of those things, Raider Nation, I can understand frustration, and especially when seeing them in person, but it's one of those things, regardless of the outcome, best fan base, and honestly, I love the Raiders at the end of the day.
And
so,
George,
appreciate it, guys.
George, before you go, man, when you sent me the note, you sent me the note of you all dressed up, too. You look good, number one.
I appreciate it.
And number two, they kept cutting to the stands because of the limited occupancy, and you're right. All I saw was Raider fans. Towards the end of the game, they're like, "Oh, Kevin Harlan, who's a great announcer, was like, hey, yeah, the hardy Falcon fans." And every time they would cut away, it was a Raider fan. It was funny. So at least the Raider Nation fans won the game because there were more of them in Atlanta to watch the game. But thanks for the note, man. Glad you got home safe.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
All right. It is time to open up those ears. It's time to open up your mind. It is time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
Now, I know a lot of Raider fans are writing off this season, talking about this is not a playoff team, and who knows? Who knows if it's going to be or not? I do believe, similar to Hondo Carpenter, who was on with us earlier in the show, this is still a 10-6 team. Now, with that being said, it didn't take a math genius to look at the schedule and say, well, you got to find 4 wins. Something I was talking about a couple weeks ago. You still got to find 4 wins. That was going into even the Kansas City game. So now the Raiders, what they've done by losing, and I mean, it doesn't matter if they lost by 1 point or 100 points like yesterday was, they have to go up and they have to clear everything that they've had. They've got to not allow this loss to beat them again. I mean, this Jets team would like nothing more than to get their first victory against a team like the Raiders who expect to try to make the playoffs this year. They would love to be the spoilers of that because, again, they're playing for nothing. So the Raiders, you want to talk about finding out who this team really is and how this coach and Coach Gruden has these guys, you know, locked in and talk about heading in the right direction. They've got to find 4 wins in 5 weeks. They've backed themselves into the corner where they have no wiggle room. And look, even if they get 4 wins in 5 weeks, maybe depending on how other games go throughout the league, that might not be enough. But at least you got the double-digit wins. You know, I could live with that if somehow they get to 10 and don't find their way into the playoffs. But you've got to put yourself in that position. You've put yourself against the wall. You've backed yourself against the wall. Now you got to find a way to get yourself off the wall. So you got to get 4-5, in my opinion. And then you just hope for the best. But I mean, that's what we're looking at, Raider Nation. Whenever you ask, and I got a million tweets yesterday, Q, the playoffs are a no-go now, right? Well, not necessarily. Just they got to go out there and really put things together against some teams that aren't going to be easy. Even this week, Jets. Then you got the Colts. You got Miami coming up. I mean, you got Denver coming up. You got the Chargers coming. You got tough games still. You know, nothing's going to be a cakewalk. Got to go out there and put your best foot forward, and it's going to have to start this week.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, you look at those 5 games, like you mentioned, Chargers, Broncos, Dolphins, Jets, and Colts.
Yep.
You can only lose one.
I mean, you can only lose one.
You can only lose one.
And you better go on a streak. Like, you better win. If you got to find 4 wins in 5 games, you better win the next 4.
Yes, exactly.
Just to give yourself some wiggle room.
And I'll tell you, I mean, you get the Chargers at home after the Jets game, right? And, and then you got the Colts and the Dolphins, too. So those are both teams ahead of you in the playoff race. You have to beat the Jets and the Chargers, and then you got to win those 2 in a row.
Yep.
Right?
And look, the Colts are playing well, and Miami's playing well.
Yes.
Even though the Colts lost yesterday, But Miami, their defense looks really good.
They do, and they're up and down. I know that, but I'm telling you, this team, the Raiders, the schedule. Everybody remember, oh, it's the easiest schedule. If you look at, okay, the Chargers and Broncos and Jets all have bad records. I understand that, but the Broncos in Denver, you want to get to Denver and maybe be able to sit your guys. I mean,
right.
That would be great. If you get
to get to Denver like you did in 2016, mm-hmm. when that game was not a must win, and who was it? I forget the Red Rocket who was out there. You know, homeboy who's always really good in the preseason. God, I forgot his name. McGloin.
Oh, yeah, McGloin.
Remember, he was Matt the quarterback because Derek had gone down.
Yeah. Yep.
But you knew that game you didn't have to win.
Right. And that's the thing here, Q, is you have, like you said, you beat the Jets. You basically need a four-game winning streak here.
Which you haven't done at all this season.
No. You've had
the
three.
The most you've won is three.
Correct.
So now you've got to play basically your best ball right now. And I'm not saying that's impossible.
No.
You know, I still believe in this team, even though that was a real big kick in the stones on Sunday to watch what they did. But I still believe this team could do it. They just got to go out there and actually perform and do it.
Agreed. But that's the point is if you can, especially those games with the Colts and Dolphins, you win those and the Jets that you put that together and the Chargers, that's four in a row. You might even clinch a playoff spot at that time, depending on what happens with everything else.
Right.
And I know it's 1 week at a time in this league. They just got to go beat the Jets. I mean, that's number one.
But yeah, 1 week at a time.
But I'm with you, man. I think this team is better than what we saw, obviously, on the field this week in Atlanta. It was just ugly, and everybody is to blame. It's not one person. For those of you who want to blame this person or that person, go ahead.
It was a total team effort.
Go ahead and do it, but that's not how it works here. Okay, we're going to get a break. We're behind a few minutes here, so we're going to catch up a little bit. We're going to take an early break. When we come back, we'll take another phone call. We'll get one more call in, and then we're going to have our conversation, as we do every week, with 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872, is coming up right at 3:20. You're with Scott and Q here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
The doctors are in. Therapy Monday after a Raider loss of 43-6. Ouch! Loss to the Atlanta Falcons. The Dirty Birds do the Raiders dirty.
Yeah, big time.
Big time. Man, it was a tough one to watch. It was a tough one to watch, but we're here for you, as always, on Raider Nation Radio. This is Silver and Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash, injury attorney, samandash.com. We're going to go out to Charles, who's been very, very patient. Charles, you're on with Scott and Q, our last call today. What's up, man?
How you doing today, guys? Hey, I just had a little speech for the Raider fans. They need to chill out. I mean, who would have said we're going to beat the Saints and the Chiefs? I'll take it. All the motivation was for the Falcons in this game. This was like their Super Bowl. We're coming off a loss, and we could have scored a few more points. Gruden took all the starters out. And here's something nobody's pointed out. Something was wrong with Josh Jacobs in that game because we never ran the ball. We never even tried to run the ball. And I don't think that was ever even mentioned. So we were totally out of our game plan. But you know what? We got just what the doctor ordered. We got the Jets coming up. And I'll point out to the year, I don't know who would be a Raider fan in 2002, but does anybody remember when we went to the Rams and they killed us? And then 6-7 weeks later, we were in the Super Bowl. I don't know if anybody remembers that game, but everybody needs to chill out. Just because we won some games, we're all spoiled. This team's getting better. Just have some patience.
Yeah, it happens. I appreciate the call, Charles. And you know what? For the most part, I think look, fans are disappointed, but we've had positive folks here, as we usually do. We don't really get a lot of negative world is ending after a loss folks here on Silver and Black Today.
No, but the thing is, man, again, when you're a team, and I'm not disagreeing with the last call. I thought the last call was really good. But my point is, when you're a team that's playing for something and you have an end-all, be-all goal, I'm not saying you have to win every game, but you have to at least go out there and compete and look like a team that would be somebody in the playoffs. I mean, we had a caller earlier. It's like, what would they do if they got to the playoffs playing like that? You know what I mean? Like, you've got to be able to have a better focus than that. Teams, really good teams, they lose, but they get right back on their horse and they figure things out. This team did not figure things out, and he's right about Jacobs. He was a no-show. You know, he was maybe his hip was a bigger injury than was led to believe. I don't know, but I just I hate to hear just, well, this team is getting better. Yeah, but they have an end-all, be-all goal, and they didn't show up to even try to achieve that goal on Sunday.
Yeah, and now it's time to bounce back, which I think they will do. By the way, tomorrow's show, Tuesday, be with us. Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas joins us, as he does every Tuesday, as well as Nate Davis from USA Today. He does the NFL Power Rankings. We'll get the latest on where the Raiders are there and an overall look at the NFL and the playoff pictures that are solidifying. But now it is time for 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872.
Some call him the slot machine. Others call him Third and Renfro. It's time for our weekly conversation with Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver Hunter Renfro. You're tuned into 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro, exclusively on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
We go back out on the newsmaker line now, bring in our good friend Hunter Renfro. 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. And Hunter, obviously a tough loss. It's time to move on, look forward, not backwards necessarily. But a day like that, I know for fans, it gets very emotional for them. But watching you guys on the field, all I could think about is days in my life as a professional where I've gone to work and everything's just gone wrong. Did it feel a little bit that way?
It did. It felt like kind of one mistake led to another, and the score kind of got out of hand. But contrary to what a lot of people believe, and we did some good things yesterday. I thought the defense played well early. I thought they forced some turnovers. They really stepped up whenever we didn't get it the first drive and went for it on fourth down. We got to play better. And some things to improve on. But I've always said this, and people may not agree with me, but a loss is a loss, you know. It doesn't matter if you lose by 1 point or 40 points. A loss is a loss, and a win is a win. And so you celebrate those wins, and you get better. And same thing when you lose. Doesn't matter how many you lose by. You get better, and you try to get better each week.
Hunter, what was the, in your opinion, the biggest issue that did not allow the offense to get started and get jump started like it normally does?
I thought we just didn't play very physical from receivers to the rest of our offense. Played a little passive, but I think that had something to do with it. Obviously, turnovers were a big part of it. We can't turn over the ball if we want to be successful and win games and be competitive in games, and so those are the two things that kind of stood out to me. But it's just one of those days, like you said. You really can't go overboard, because last week we had some confidence. 2 weeks ago we had some confidence, and so you can't lose that confidence because of a loss like this.
Yeah, again, we're joined by Hunter Renfro here on 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. Hunter, after the game, you know, Derek surprised a lot of us when he talked about that he felt you guys were flat in practice. I know later in the press conference you were on and you said you didn't necessarily see that, but as a quarterback, you kind of see a lot more things, right? I thought it was excellent leadership by him to come out, because it's a way, and for those of us who've been in leadership positions in business too, it's sort of like you don't come out and just start screaming at people and single-handedly naming people on the podium. But what you do is say, hey, look, it's not acceptable. We're a team. We don't get it done. We don't get it done together. We need everybody's number one effort. How much of that did you see? I mean, in practice, you said you didn't see much of it, but clearly Derek did. Have you had a chance to talk to him a little more about how you go about approaching that to make sure it doesn't happen again?
Yeah, absolutely. And we sit near each other on the plane, so we have some conversations on the way home. But with any business, you know, whether you're have a big presentation coming up, it's all about the time you put in. It's all about the preparation. You know, the separations and the preparation is how you prepare. And if you don't have a good week of preparation, or you don't prepare the right way to give that presentation in front of your boss, then it's not going to be good. You're going to get there and you're not going to have a good performance. And so I think Derek was kind of talking about just coming out flat. And maybe so. Like I said in the press conference, I didn't see it as much, but Derek has a much better tempo on the team. He's been around a lot longer, and so maybe I'm just naive to it. But whatever it was, we have to get it fixed this week, and we can't use practice as an excuse. So just because we had a bad week of practice doesn't mean the game is a game. We got to come out there and perform regardless, and so That's just something we're going to have to work on this week.
Well, sticking with that theme, how challenging is it going to be this week since the facility is closed on Monday and Tuesday, and really you can't get in there till Wednesday to try to start getting some work done?
Yeah, so it's different, right? I think this whole year has been a little different for everyone, but we've had the facility closed. I mean, we come and get our workout in usually on Mondays, but besides that, we've had Zoom meetings for the last couple of weeks on Mondays and Tuesdays, and so it's not much different this week as far as that. We just can't get our lift in. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's good to get away. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise that we can kind of get away and refocus for the last five games and then hopefully playoffs as well. But we really need a strong push if we're going to want to just get into the playoffs. And that's the thing I've been talking to people close to me and some teammates. The good thing about our team is we can beat anybody, and I think we've proven that. So it doesn't matter if we're the first wild card team or the last wild card team or whatever it may be. We just want a shot, and we're going to have to go prove that and earn that. Just like we earned that loss yesterday, we'll have to earn it the rest of the way to be able to get in the playoffs and have a shot at maybe playing Kansas City again or one of these teams down the line.
Hunter Renfro with us here on 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro. And Hunter, we're going to close the book on the loss, but the one question I want to ask, because you know fans, you know how passionate Raider fans are. They live and die with the team, and so many of them, you know, are so excited about what this team has been able to do, the makeup of this team, the personality, I think the football IQ. But for those fans that fear kind of a repeat of last year, because last week you had to deal with that question from all of us guys who talk, right? Which is what's the difference between this 6-14, blah 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 blah. But what would you say to fans who are worried that they're going to see what they saw last year?
Yeah, and that's a valid point. But we just got to keep getting better, you know. I really wish I could say we're not going to finish the way that we finished last year. But I can't say that, you know. I can hope and I can prepare and hope the guys are on the same page and we're to go out and have a great week of practice. But like I said earlier, you got to go earn it. If we don't go earn it the next 5 weeks and go and put our best forth or our best effort and have trust in the preparation we put in the previous 11 weeks and then the summer, then it is going to happen again. So it falls on us. It falls on us players. But I believe that we have the right type of people in our program, on our team, that it's not going to happen again. And that's just my hope. But we're going to have to go prove it for sure.
And continuing to stick with that, how much, you know, does the veterans that are on the squad, the Jason Wittens, the Nelson Aguilars, you know, the Rodney Hudsons, guys like that that have been there, done that in the league, how much do they kind of step up and say, hey, guys, let's go. We got 5 weeks left. We got to get focused. We got a bigger picture that we're playing for here.
Yeah, those guys have been great. Just reminding us younger guys and the new guys that we're the Raiders. We have so much to prove and so much to play for, and we have one of the best fan bases out there, and we got to go prove it to them and prove it to ourselves that we can go be one of the best. And that's something that I think they've portrayed to us. And something else is that it's not college football, you know. You can lose 5-6 games. I mean, we can go on a run right here and be 11-5. I think them portraying that message to us and keeping that at the forefront of our minds, that we can still accomplish everything we want from here on out. It's some light at the end of the tunnel and some hope for us.
Yeah, and Hunter, I know it's not about individual performances, but I know Raider fans had some joy yesterday because your 7-catch, 73-yard day two was fun to watch, and you had some nice moves there, and I'm still trying to figure out how your feet are so quick. But nonetheless, let's talk a little bit about one of the things that you, since coming into the league and being a young player and the legacy of what the Raiders do in the community, you two are doing that as well, and you got a program running. You're doing some work here with our good friends and Arnie Stalk over at Share Village. Talk a little bit about that and how people can get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for bringing this up because football is a game, right? It's fun. We love doing it, but I think helping people is more important. And so, that's something that I kind of teamed up with Golden Ford and the Share Village, and we're just trying to help out the Share Village any way we can. They're a great organization, a great group.
and they provide housing for homelessness and food as well for veterans, for senior citizens. And I was fortunate enough to go and kind of walk through their facilities right before the season, and what they have going over there is special, and they're helping a lot of people. And so on my Instagram page, I have a GoFundMe link in my bio, and you can donate. And if you donate, I think, $13 or more, then you get a signed picture of me in a game, and we'll send it to you UPS. And so that's just a way of encouraging people to give. But the critical point is just helping out the people that as much as we can, you know. And I think they do that at Share Village, and I'm excited to be partnering with them and helping them as much as I can in the future. But right now, with COVID and Christmas coming up, I think people deserve as much help as they can get, for sure.
Yeah, no, great job. The Tackle the Homelessness with Hunter Renfro. Make sure you follow Hunter on Instagram if you don't already do that, as Gauden Ford is helping organize the fundraiser to share supportive housing and resources for the elderly as well. So lots going on there. And Hunter, well done, man. That's great. I know you're new to the Las Vegas community, but the Share Village has done so much there to help so many, even during COVID, with emergency food assistance. Mm-hmm. Just really great stuff. But we appreciate it, and I know it's time to turn the page and get ready for the Jets going back to the East Coast. So we thank you for being on with us again here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I'm excited. I know we didn't really touch on it, but I'm excited to get another chance of the Jets, right? I mean,
yes.
We laid an egg last year, so we get another chance this year and hopefully turn things around.
All right, that's great, man. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it.
All right, there you go. 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro, brought to you by the men and women of the Laborers Local 872. And Q, always, you know, that's the reason we love Hunter so much on the show, is that, you know, he just tells it like it is. He's telling us about his conversations on the plane back with Derek Carr. You know, he knows. And I'm encouraged to hear that, because even after a terrible, terrible loss, to hear one of the star players of the team talk like that's very encouraging.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I think that this team really has probably the right mindset. You know, I think that the veterans on the team help out in a major way. And he's right. You know, it's not college football where you lose one game and all of a sudden you're out of the playoffs. It's not that way. But they have to, like I mentioned in the Q-tip, they've got to get on a run now. You know, they realize that they've backed themselves into a corner. And when you're backed into a corner, there's only one thing you could do if you choose to, is to fight your way out. So that's what I'm expecting to see from the Silver and Black the rest of the way, is a lot of fight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to go on the phone lines. Our good friend down under, Rossi in Australia, is with us. Rossi, are you over Sunday, or which would have been Monday? So your week started off crappy because you had to watch the Raiders on Monday, right?
Yeah, starting at 5 a.m. in the morning as well. So I wasn't, by the time I was taking my daughter to school, I was already really roastable. I know Q said this a couple of times, being a team effort. I actually call it a no-team effort. I actually think this is actually the type of loss that can kick us into gear, because we were, you know, we felt sorry for ourselves. We had that moral victory. Well, there's nothing moral about this loss whatsoever. Everything from the top down was absolutely atrocious. We've never seen the ball for three possessions in the first quarter, and we did even before the five minute mark. That just said to me, the guys' heads weren't there. Whatever it was, whatever the reason for the lackluster effort, poor execution, poor coaching, whatever it was, you could tell within that first 10 minutes where we had the ball three times. We normally go on long drives. We normally pound it down. Suddenly Parker was getting beaten. Suddenly on the inside, Good was getting beaten. There was getting a lot of penetration towards Carr. And I'm not blaming Carr. I'm not blaming it. I know people are talking about his fumble issues. And you know what? A blindside hit comes. It just happens. I'm not blaming the defense. I'm actually blaming the entire collective from the moment they got on their plane from Vegas to Georgia. And all the way back. And so I think you said this a couple of times on Twitter yesterday, Scott, you just flushed this loss. There can actually be no good coming out of watching this film, because we didn't do anything good. It was
not offensive.
There is nothing. Maybe Daniel Carlson looks at maybe he can kick it just a little bit better. I don't know, but outside of that, just flush it away. Prepare for the Jets. Prepare for Darnold, like he is the first round pick. Prepare for the Jets who want to win one game and get on that roll. Very much like what Q said in the Q2.
Yep. Rossi, thanks, man. We appreciate you so much.
Good stuff. And yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. You know, and we didn't ask Hunter about it because we asked him a couple weeks ago about flushing it and how quickly they can do it. They've got to do it probably faster this week than ever. You know, just if you looked at the film, fine. But just flush it and move on. And that's what they've got to do. And I do believe that they can, again. But we'll see.
Yeah, and that was, I think, part of the line of questioning yesterday after the game about not being able to go into the facility the next couple days. Because, you know, one of the reporters asked yesterday, hey, well, this is a time where you can stand somebody in the face. You get in the locker room before practice or you have a quick meeting or whatever. Now, they can do it virtually. I know it's not the same as being in the room. And that's what they're going to do. Everybody's in the same boat. So we'll see how it goes. All right, we're going to take our last break. And then we come back. We're going to be joined by our friend Sam and Ash. We're going to talk about the slugger and the strip club and also something called vampire facials.
That sounds like something that you'd find at the strip club with a slugger.
Oh, you got me on that one. All right, we're going to take that break. When we come back, we'll roll on here on a Monday. Silver and Black Today, Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Here we are back, Silver and Black Today on this Monday. Hope you got some therapy. We got a lot of calls in today, Q.
Yeah, we did. A lot of good stuff, man. And I love the one thing, and I don't agree with every call, obviously, and every call doesn't agree with me. But the one thing we could all agree on is that Raider Nation is a very passionate fan base. And, you know, when it comes to talking and conversating and even arguing about the team, Raider Nation will definitely show up and show out.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. By the way, Hunter Renfrow, you know, his wife is expecting. And I think she's a couple months away, last time I asked him. So I'm going to have a little Renfrow running around the Vegas streets here pretty soon.
According to Brent Musburger, we already have that.
That's right, little rascal.
Yeah.
Yes. Purple Walrus.
You know. Yeah, I guess they're not singing Purple Walrus praises anymore.
No, they're not. They didn't have any fun ones this week, so... apparently, they didn't like all that attention to that, which I understand. But that's what happens when you have no fans in the stand. You can hear everything. All right.
Right.
But I will say this before we move on to our guests here in a second, that I really believe, as bad as it was yesterday, and Q, you said it last week in your Q-tip on Friday, and you kind of said it the same way different today, you got to show who you are. Right. And so the Raiders, they lay an egg on the road in Atlanta. Now they got to go to New York. And I think they got to throttle these guys. It's not going to be enough to win the game by 3 points.
I don't care how they win, honestly.
Yeah.
I just think they need to start the win streak. And it starts with one game before you can get to two. So whatever they have to do to pick up a dub is what they got to do. And I think we'll know a lot about this team by what we see next Sunday against the Jets. We'll know, and I just got this text, matter of fact, during the commercial break. We'll learn a lot about what yesterday was all about. Based off of what we see next Sunday against the Jets. We'll know if it's a problem with the team or a problem with something going on or if that was just a bad day at the office.
Yeah, and, you know, tomorrow we'll start talking about some storylines because we're going 1 week at a time here at Silver and Black today. But now you're getting to this time of the year where, yeah, if you were to drop another game, then the playoffs looking really, really tough. If you drop two games, forget about it.
Oh, yeah, it's over.
Okay. But and we're not saying that's going to happen, but we start to need to think about next year's roster, changes that might be coming, especially if they don't make the playoffs. There's actually some decisions that may be made because of that. Then, but we'll talk about that. We got lots of week left to do so. Okay, this time of the week we bring on our good friends Sam and Ash. Of course, Sam and Ash are injury attorneys. 702-820-1234. They're my attorneys. And I don't just say that, they really are. They're great folks, though. But we bring them on every Monday. We don't just talk about their business. No, because these are very dynamic and exciting people. And today we're going to talk about the slugger and the strip club, and we're going to talk about something called vampire facials, which just have me grossed out. Anyway, we go on the phones. We bring in our good friends, Sam and Ash. How are you both doing today?
I'm good.
Good. We're doing great. Good to be on with you guys.
Okay, so let's dispense with the Raider game quickly. You know, one of the things we've been talking about all day, Q and I, is that you kind of got to, as disappointing as it is, you got to get over it fast. For you guys, whether it's professionally or personally, is there something that you do, like when you have something not go your way, that you do so you can get over it quickly?
You do, but you have to figure out why it is that you failed.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you can't just brush it off and move on. You've got to figure out what the reason is and fix it for next time. So I hope that the team is doing that. I heard somewhere that I guess, you know, I the team was playing or practicing flat all week.
Yep.
You know, you can't practice flat and then perform with flair. It's just not going to happen. And in my business, you know, I have to, when I take a case, I got to prepare. I got to be ready. Mm-hmm. Ashley is a consummate preparer and a meticulous attorney. And she, you know, so she just, you know, this is what you have to do. You have to prepare, and you have to, your preparation has to be even better than your ultimate performance in court. So, anyway, there it is. That's what the team needs to do. They got to hit practice hard this week and they want the W next week.
And Ashley, you played college basketball. Do you remember performances that maybe weren't your best and that you could relate those back to not practicing great?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I look back on bad performances, it's usually bad preparation in college basketball. And then what do you do after a bad game of shooting? You know, you get out in the gym and you go back and you're there until 4 or 5 a.m. You just don't leave. You fix it. You go back to the fundamentals.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay, so let's get into some of these stories today, too, and I appreciate you guys' insight, as always. And I know we're having some phone issues, so excuse the issues there, but we'll get you through it. Okay, so the Slugger and the Strip Club. You ready for this? Las Vegas. Yes, Las Vegas and current San Diego Padre, Tommy Pham. Of course, people here in Las Vegas very familiar with Tommy. He's a local product. He has sued a strip club over what he calls catastrophic injuries. He was stabbed in the lower back. Two people were arguing near his car. He comes out. He's trying to get out to the car. He gets stabbed. He didn't do anything wrong. Nothing wrong here. And he's suing this club. What is this all about, guys, and kind of what's his case here?
Well, he has a pretty good case. Poor guy got stabbed pretty... It came within just a hair of some of his vital organs. But, you know, what happened is he leaves this adult establishment. and apparently there's a couple of people hanging out kind of arguing by his car. And he asks them to move, and they get aggressive. And then allegedly a security guard who was hired by the business comes out and actually antagonizes the fight, you know, the people that are starting the fight and contributes, it escalates the risk. So what that's the basis of the claim. It's that he's suing the strip club, and he's claiming that their own security really didn't help the situation, made it worse. And we see this happen. You know, a lot of private security that are hired on are just not effective or actually become very confrontational and cause injuries. And so this is, you know, he's got a good case. I think that they're probably going to settle it. They also apparently didn't call law enforcement. So there's just a host of problems here. And of course it can potentially affect his career.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you, Ashley. Now, he's saying, and I'm sure these words from a legal perspective are very important. He's saying, quote, catastrophic injuries. Tommy Pham was injured much of last year for the Padres. He's up in an arbitration year, so he's got, if he gets a non-tender on his contract, it could cost him $8 million. Is that the kind of financial number, and when they start framing it as catastrophic injuries, if he loses his job with the Padres, i.e. they let him go, is that going to bolster his claim?
Yeah, absolutely. What they're looking to do here is basically prove what he earned in the past, and he's losing out on that in the future as a direct result of this altercation, this stabbing. And it was all preventable if the bar had taken reasonable steps to promote a safe environment. So yeah, they're looking at his past contracts and his likely wage minimums, and then they're going to project that in, out into the future of how long his career likely would have gone, and they'll reach a number.
And is this for you guys too? I mean, since you touch on this law, is there a lot of issues? I mean, we're in Las Vegas where we have nightclubs, we have restaurants, we have places that hires private security. Is that something that you guys see a lot? Is it something people need to be aware about, that maybe they're not as secure as they think they are just because there's somebody there with a uniform on?
Yeah, and
absolutely. We see this a lot with bouncers. You know, a lot of establishments want the appearance of security, and so they put some guy in a black polo out in front of their establishment and hope that that's enough. And when it's not, it shows that they don't actually implement mitigating steps to reduce the violence and get things going in a more safe way. And so, yeah, there's nothing worse than untrained security.
Okay, so now this second story we got to get to. This one, it just freaks me out because I
me too.
And I asked my daughter about this, and she's, oh, yeah. I'm like, what? Now, she's never had it done, but there's a woman in Las Vegas gets arrested for posing or being unlicensed. She was not a nurse. She said she was a nurse to do what they call a vampire facial. And I looked it up. It's when they take. Are you ready for this? No, Sam invited me out the other day to go get a vampire facial. I said no, Ash.
This is all true.
But they take blood from your arm and then they somehow separate it and then they inject it in the face. First of all, what the hell is going on with people that they're doing this? And secondarily, how much of this happens where people are performing, whether it be beauty enhancing or medical enhancement stuff, and are unlicensed?
Oh, yeah. It happens more now than ever with social media and how images rule the world and how posts and photos, everyone is more conscious about what they look like and their appearance. And so, but they can't necessarily afford all the Hollywood Beverly Hills makeup and procedures. And so they look to alternative remedies and solutions. And a lot of people go across the southern border to Mexico to get this stuff done, or they get it done like from people like this story under the without licenses, and it's terrible because without licenses, you don't have proper training, and often it's not safe just hygienically.
Yeah, that's crazy. And Sam,
what does that do?
Yeah, well, here's what, you ready for this?
Yes.
I wrote down my daughter shows me a picture. It's the only person she could find was Kim Kardashian getting it done, by the way. Anyway.
Well, that tells me all I need to know.
But the vampire, it's a combination of
a lot of things done.
Microdermabrasion with application of platelet-rich plasma to stimulate cell growth in your skin.
So that does what?
It's supposed to keep your skin and everything looking younger.
It makes it turns your face red.
Yes,
and you've got all these influencers that put it up on Instagram and get people hyped up. And Ashley's right. Then people look up the cost of it and go, well, I'm not on a Kim Kardashian's budget, so they. Look for a less expensive alternative. And as a matter of fact, I'll say this, a lot of people, the minute you start looking for less expensive alternatives, you end up with a much, much, much worse outcome. And it's true for, every year you find out about some unlicensed lawyer or unlicensed doctor or massage therapist, whatever, that is, that's butchering, whatever it is that they claim to be really good at when they're not. So always make sure that, if you're going to get a vampire facial, that the person has all the proper credentials.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
I saw it and somebody asked me if I wanted one. I said, blah, blah. No,
look, man, Kim Kardashian's put a lot on film that I would not encourage anybody to do.
This is so true. But that's the last thing I want to touch on that, though, is because I grew up, my mom was a nurse, right? And so then my mom became a medical malpractice attorney. And this stuff that you guys are dealing with is because, somebody might say, yeah, I'm going to save a little money. I'm going to get this done, or I'm going to get a Botox injection or whatever it is. And then you guys are there because their life and their health has been altered forever, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's insane. Well, thank goodness you guys are out there. If people unfortunately find themselves in that situation, Sam and Ash are going to be there for you. You can always check them out, samandash.com, 702-820-1234. Guys, thank you so much for enlightening me on what the hell a vampire facial is.
You are welcome.
I'm going to have nightmares, and I will blame both of you. No, I'm just kidding.
Blame Sam.
Blame Sam. I'm going to get a T-shirt. Blame Sam. What do you think, Sam?
I love it.
Okay,
I love it. I'll autograph it for you.
That would be awesome. Listen, guys, thank you so much for being with us, as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, bye, guys. Thank you.
All right. There you go. Sam and Ash, samandash.com. Wow. Dude.
I don't know where you find some of this stuff at.
Injecting blood into your face.
It's just stupid.
Look, you know what?
Black don't crack, so I ain't worried about putting nothing in my face. I'm good.
That's what I was going to say. But even so, you age, right? My wife was watching a movie last night. Remember Nicole Kidman?
Yep.
She's had a lot of work done, right? And I don't mind. There's people who've had work done. And, you know, hey, whatever your thing is. But when you get so much work done where you could, you're going to be more beautiful as an older person if you just let yourself age.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about that. That's wild to me.
All right. Well, tomorrow, again, Jesse America will be with us. Nate Davis, USA Today on the NFL Power Rankings. He does them on the paper. He'll be with us as well. For Q Myers, I am Scott Gilbranson, Damon Cotton, also David Stepanian producing. We will be back tomorrow. Q, have a good night, man.
All right, you too. Appreciate you.
All right, you take care, everybody. This has been Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.